As he jets down the highway, Miles Morgan's cell phone rings on the seat next to him.
Now, who could that...
Oh, look at the caller ID. It's the guy from Arachnid Sportswear. Devin, I want you to take this and do just like I told you.
Yes, sir. Hello, Devin Williams speaking.
Devin, this is Raymond from Arachnid Sportswear. I'm returning your call.
Yes, Raymond. Thank you for calling me back.
You were calling about some sort of sponsorship?
Yes, exactly. You've heard of the Explorer Society.
Of course. My business is making adventure wear.
Well, you might not be aware that they are currently being featured on a hot new television show called Battle of the Worldviews.
They're competing against some creation team or something, right?
Exactly. Recently, I have begun representing the Explorer Society. Raymond, millions are already tuning in. And imagine all of those people seeing the Explorer Society dressed in Arachnid sportswear.
Okay, it sounds like an excellent opportunity.
Okay.
I need to pass it on to my board, and I'll call you back in the morning.
Talk to you then.
Sweet! This deal could be worth hundreds of thousands. Devin, you're going to be my perfect spokesman.
I still don't completely understand why you need me.
Let's just say I don't exactly have a good name right now. So let me be the brains, and you just keep on being my voice. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Now to the business of making sure the creation response team loses.
What is Miles Morgan up to? How does he intend to thwart the victory of the creation response team? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the journey into the Blast Zone. Meanwhile, a small group of television producers meet behind closed doors at a studio in Orlando, Florida.
Dwayne, I know Battle of the Worldviews was your brainchild.
Yes, Mr. Harrison, our ratings couldn't be better. So, tell me why you're concerned.
While those two creation families are charming, do they really have the ability to compete with the likes of the Explorer Society? What happens if every week it's another Explorer Society victory?
Sir, I don't think you need to worry. I have seen these guys in action. I know they can hold their own.
Now, Willie, you had something you wanted to bring up?
Dwayne, I know I'm only the host of this thing, but I really feel like on the last episode, we missed a lot of the action. None of the human interest side of what was happening out in the field.
He's right. What if we give each team a camera to use to capture anything they'd like, and we'll edit the usable stuff?
Oh, Dwayne, that's brilliant.
But if the creation response team suffers another defeat, I want to discuss the future of this show.
All right.
I know you've all got a lot to do before tomorrow's recording of the second episode. So let's call this meeting over.
Yes, okay, sir.
Welcome back to the Battle of the Worldviews. And now, here's your host, Willie Hutton.
Thank you, Bob. Well, it's time once again to send our two teams out to an exciting new location. Whose turn is it to pick?
The Creation Response Team!
That's right. Dr. Kendall Park, your team originally submitted five locations in which you'd like to go. Which one will it be this week?
Willie, we're going to Mount St. Helens.
Mount St. Helens! That sounds exciting. Dr. Park, tell us about this site.
In March of 1980, this mountain was quiet. By May, there was a large bulge forming on its north side. And soon, there was a buildup of magma. A large depression formed at the top.
And that's when it was almost time for one of the most exciting eruptions of modern times. It started at 8:32 a.m. on May 18th.
Now, it all began with a 5.1 magnitude earthquake, causing 3.3 billion cubic yards at the top and the insides of the mountain to plunge into the valley below. Now, all that rock was like a cork holding the volcanic pressure in. As it fell away, the volcanic pressure exploded. In a half a minute, the explosion had reached full strength, the equivalent of 1,000 Hiroshima-class atom bombs. In the next 3 minutes, it tore through the forests, killing 57 people and 234 square miles of trees up to 17 miles away.
What followed was 9 hours of a vertical eruption with 30 times the energy of the sideways blast, sending a plume of ash 60,000 feet into the sky that encircled the globe. It also put down 30 feet of ash on the landslide deposit.
Now, by the way, this landslide and sideways blast is important because it points out how fast the Earth can change through a catastrophic event. In just 3.5 minutes, the mountain was changed beyond recognition. The top was gone. The middle was hollowed out into a horseshoe-shaped crater that was open to the north. And the 234 square miles of forest were destroyed.
Wow! How incredibly fascinating. Now, why has the Creation Response Team chosen this site?
Son?
As creationists, we often talk about the worldwide flood and how it could have rapidly reshaped the geological formations that are usually said to have formed over millions of years. But who's right? Is it the evolutionists or the creationists?
Well, this is going to be exciting. Okay, Explorer Society, the playing field lies before you. Dr. Hunt, as the team leader, can you tell us how you intend to battle for your worldview?
I'm going to defer to Dr. Daniel Priest, our team geologist.
Willie, Mount St. Helens has long been a favorite spot for creationists. So I think our main strategy will consist of demonstrating the errors in the presentations they will be making there.
At the Burgess Shale, you definitely took an offensive strategy. It sounds like now the Explorer Society will be dropping into more of a defensive mode for this adventure.
Right. And it's not because our position is weak at Mount St. Helens. It's simply a recent volcano, and it did what volcanoes do. That's not a problem for our worldview. So all we have to do to win this one is show the scientific flaws when they compare the processes of a modern-day volcano to the supposed worldwide flood.
And now, just a reminder of the rules. Both teams will be sent out to the site and given 3 days to collect evidence to support their case. While in the field, our producer, Dwayne Gibbons, will follow them around with a camera, documenting every struggle, every adventure, and every victory that they'll encounter along their way. This week, we are also giving each of the teams their own camera. Upon your return, our live studio audience will vote for the team that they think best establishes proof for their worldview. Bob, remind us again of that prize.
The loser of each week's competition will take home $50,000. The winner, $100,000. The overall winner on all 5 weeks will walk away with another $500,000.
That's a grand total of $1.25 million. Last week, the Explorer Society took home $100,000 and the Creation Response Team $50,000. Well then, let's do it. Right after this commercial break, we'll send our two teams off to Mount St. Helens.
Hello, Creation Response Team.
Hey.
Hi.
How do you guys like your cabins?
They're great.
The pine wood and green roofs are so cute.
I think so too, Mrs. Park.
This is called the Echo Park Resort. We chose it because it's so close to Mount St. Helens. We figured it would give you good access to all the areas the two teams will want to film. You guys got the camera we set you up with, right?
Yes, Eddie has it. He handles lots of the technology for our team.
Angela, I have something I want you to share with your husband and the rest of the team.
Well, what's that, Dwayne?
The ratings on the show were incredible last week, but I had a meeting with my boss a couple of days ago.
And he's a little worried about the Creation Response Team?
I just want you guys to give these 3 days your best shot.
Dwayne, the Creation Response Team may be the underdogs here, but I can guarantee you that we'll give it our all.
You'll see, Mr. Gibbons. The evidence for Mount St. Helens is very strong for our side.
Well, I don't doubt that you have plenty to say. You sure did at the Burgess Shale. But you were a little distracted. And to be honest, that's what cost you the victory last time.
We understand, Mr. Gibbons. Lord willing, we're going to give the Explorer Society a run for their money.
That's what I want to hear. Well, I've got to go check on the Explorer Society. I'll catch you all later.
And then Jesse and Jonathan, Kendall wants us all together in the park cabin for a strategy meeting.
Okay, Mom, we'll see you there.
Okay, Creation Response Team, I've called you together because we need to form a strategy.
Right.
That's right. We have a chance to present the evidence for the Creator to millions of viewers, so we need to do our best to represent him, and he will decide the results.
And this is Mount St. Helens. They're on our court now. We need to overwhelm the audience with evidence for our model.
So, Dad, how are we going to do it?
Well, Jonathan, I've got a plan. Now, back in 1992, Dr. Steve Austin, a geologist from the Institute for Creation Research, removed a sample from the lava dome inside the volcano. They sent that rock into a geological lab to be dated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I heard about this.
And it was taken from the part of the dome that we believe was formed during the 1980 eruptions.
And yet the results they got back from the lab indicated that it was very, very old.
That's right. Based on the data, it dated from 350,000 to 2.4 million years old.
So, Dad, what's the plan?
Well, Jonathan, what if we duplicate Dr. Austin's work?
Son, that sounds like a great idea. If we could show the inaccuracy of radioisotope dating, it would be a real blow to the evolutionists.
We've only got 3 days. Is there any way we could really pull it off?
Well, yeah, if we could get a sample from the dome. The tough part would be to have the geological lab turn it around in time.
I'll bet if you offered them enough money, they'd do it.
I agree. And the Nature Adventure Channel's funding this adventure. Let's see if they'd be willing to invest enough money to rush a lab.
Yeah.
Dad, what do you think about leading the junior response team to get the sample?
I think I can. I just need you to give me a refresher on removing a sample.
Of course. Now, we need to make this fast. I noticed there's a helicopter pad at Echo Park. I'm going to talk to Dwayne and find out if he can find a helicopter pilot that'd be willing to fly you guys up to the crater. You could get the sample and be back before the day's over.
I believe a rock from the lava dome will be the one piece of evidence that will seal our victory.
Okay, let's get moving.
And so what you're telling me is that there's no way to get a helo pilot for the next couple of days. Uh-huh. And you have no other suggestions? Uh-huh. All right, have a good day.
What was that about, Dwayne?
Nothing. It's just creation response team business. Okay, I've got to run. See you soon.
See you later, Dwayne.
Okay, Explorer Society, are we ready to head out? Jack, have you got the camera?
Right here.
Shannon, could you review our strategy? What does Mount St. Helens have to do with our worldview?
I think our winning plan will be to simply show Mount St. Helens as the modern-day volcano that it is, and then show how unscientific they are when they apply it to a worldwide flood.
Whenever the creation response team makes a claim in front of the camera, I want a member of the Explorer Society right there with them, spotlighting their errors and offering real scientific answers to debunk those claims.
Okay.
This is the way we'll win this one.
Miles, it's been a long time since I've heard from you.
Sam, today I'm calling you with a little business opportunity.
I don't know. I mean, what I've heard about you.
Look,
and...
kid, I'm offering you $10,000 for a quick job. You want it or not?
For $10,000, I could be at the airfield in less than an hour.
Excellent. I want you to land at Echo Park and pick up a group calling themselves the Creation Response Team. Fly them right into the crater of Mount St. Helens.
The crater? I've flown there before, but I can't without permission. Or I'll lose my license.
Sam, don't worry. This is official business. The group you're taking will have all the right permits in hand when you pick them up. Just don't mention it was me who sent you.
So you are in trouble.
I'm not asking you for anything illegal, just a little devious. Now, you're going to help me ensure that the creation response team suffers a huge loss. Now, let me tell you the plan, and then you better get down to the airfield. First, set her down at the pad at Echo Park. After picking up the group, you'll fly them directly up to the top.
Well, that's great news! Okay, we'll meet you down there within the hour. Thank you.
What was that all about, Dad?
Dwayne came through. He says there's a helicopter pilot who'd be willing to meet us down at the helipad right here at Echo Park.
Wow.
All right then, gentlemen. Let's get your gear together and then you're off to the top of the mountain.
Okay, Creation Response Team, this is Sam. He's going to be your pilot up to the crater.
Hey, how are you?
Good to meet you, sir.
Let me roll video on this.
All right, everyone, get in the bird, and we'll be up there in about 10 minutes.
Goodbye, Dad. You take care of these boys.
You got it, son!
If they come back with a decent sample, and we can get it off to the lab...
I think we're going to be poised for victory.
That'd be great.
Speaking of that, Kendall, I had the studios make arrangements with the lab.
Wow, that's awesome.
So what about us?
Well, Jonathan, we're heading over to the Little Grand Canyon of the Toodle River to document the layers deposited by the volcano.
Okay.
Well, okay then. Let's head out.
Benjamin, we're almost there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, boys, do you remember our mission?
Yeah, we need to find an accessible part of the lava dome. We need to chisel down to get the sample that hasn't had a chance to oxidize.
Then we want to get out of here. This crater's been pretty unstable lately.
I'll make sure to roll Bill. You might want to start rolling right now. I'm setting this thing down.
Well, that's a good idea, Eddie. Let's start documenting the adventure for the TV show.
All right. Okay, you're clear to open the hatch.
Sam, what are you doing?
I need to find a better place to set down. You guys go ahead. I'm going to pull back up and take another angle at this thing.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Are you recording all this?
Yes, sir.
Let's get started so we can be done by the time he returns.
All right. Wait, what's this low rumbling sound?
Yeah, there are constant rocks tumbling down from the surrounding rim. It just makes that eerie sound.
So, Mr. Park, this giant lava dome was made during the 1980 eruption?
Well, Timmy, between 1980 and 1986, there were around 20 dome-building events. It made that dome 1,000 feet high and about 3,000 feet wide at the base. Another series of dome-building began in October of 2004. Well, it seems like the activity continues.
Oh, great. This thing's gonna go off while we're here.
Well, at least our lava sample will be fresh.
I think this looks like what Kendall said to look for. Now let's get out our hammers and chisels. Eddie, get a close-up of this area.
Okay, I'm getting the perspective of the dome, and now I'm zooming in on this spot.
Okay, Thad, give it a whack right here.
Here it goes. Ugh!
Okay, Dwayne, are you all framed in here? Can you see the layers behind me?
Rolling.
Okay. Now, this place has earned the name of the Little Grand Canyon of the Toodle River.
How did it get that name?
Well, creationists like to call it that because it's 1/40th the size of the Grand Canyon and displays some incredible layered deposits. In May of 1980, a huge landslide of volcanic debris covered this area with a massive amount of material. And then in June, the next eruption sent waves of pyroclastic flows, placing another 25 feet of layers on top.
Can you explain the pyroclastic flow?
Sure, Jonathan. It's a high-speed slurry of broken rocks, pumice, ash, and hot gases. And between 9 p.m. and midnight, waves of these pyroclastic flows laid down layer after layer, hundreds of them. Mm. Some were ultra-thin and some were over 3 feet thick.
Well, how did they make layers?
Well, after blowing 45,000 feet into the air, the volcanic material fell back into the crater, glancing off the lip and shooting northward. The volcanic debris was gas-charged and radiated out from the crater like a cloud after an atomic explosion. Now, as the gas dissipated, the material began skipping along the ground, sorting itself as it formed layer after layer. Scientists have counted about 200 distinct layers.
Now, let me tell you what the creationist says next about these layers. They want to take these volcanic layers and compare them to other sites around the world.
Okay, Dr. Priest, but you've got to admit that there are some similarities between what we see here and the Tapete sandstones of Grand Canyon.
Oh, this is exactly what I mean. Kendall, we are talking about two completely different types of material here.
Well,
this was volcanic debris, and what we see at the Tapetes is sandstone.
So, Kendall, I fail to see how that applies to sites like the Tapetes and the Grand Canyon.
Well, Glenn, I would suggest that the same physics were working at the Grand Canyon. Except instead of ash and pumice fragments, it was sand and rock sediments, and instead of gas, it was water. There is great evidence that both pyroclastic flows and sediment gravity flows would sort and deposit distinct layering.
We do see layering here, but it is layers of different size grains of the same material. But in other places around the world, we see layers of different kinds of material.
But in a worldwide flood scenario, there would be different types of deposits being washed in from different places. The first material is sorted and laid down, and then the next after that, and then another deposit washes in on top of that. You see, even though Mount St. Helens cannot explain alternating layers of differing material, I think a worldwide flood can, and it is clues from here that help us to understand those processes. And so no longer can we look at layers and automatically interpret them as millions of years old.
Excellent job, everyone. Okay, Kendall, you said there's one last place you want to hit before evening.
Yeah, let's hike up to Steph Falls, okay? I think we ought to go up there and talk about some rapid erosion.
Lead the way, my friend.
cabins are rustic, but cozy.
It's nice that they have a kitchen and a living room in addition to a bedroom.
I'll get it, Mom. Oh, hello, Dr. Hun.
Jessie, just the person I was hoping to talk to. Do you have a moment?
Oh, sure, just a minute. Hey, Mom, can I step outside to talk to Dr. Hun?
Okay, honey.
All right.
Well, Jessie, I got you a little gift. Here, open it.
A copy of the Science Nature magazine?
It's your own subscription.
I don't know what to say, Mrs. Hunt.
I hope you like it.
Dr. Hunt, I so appreciate your kindness, but my parents and I have a very open relationship, and they make the major decisions about what I put into my head and heart. God has given them the responsibility to make sure that everything I see and experience is acceptable to my Creator.
So, are you telling me you don't want the subscription?
I'm telling you I'll have to ask my mom.
Okay, Jessie. The subscription is yours, so I'll let you deal with it however you think you should. And I'm going to make my way back to our cabin. Have a good day.
You too, Dr. Hunt. And thank you for your kindness.
No problem. See you around.
Okay, bye.
You think that's it, Mr. Park?
Well, that looks good. Dad, I think we've got a few usable pieces here. Timmy, grab the collection bag. Let's get this in there.
Yes, sir.
Has anyone else besides me noticed that the helicopter has never come back?
Yes, Dad, it's very strange.
What's going on?
The rocks are collapsing from the rim!
We're gonna get hit!
Come on, boy! Get behind this outcropping!
Okay, everyone. Standing here on the Lewitt Trail, we can look up and see Step Canyon.
It looks like a gigantic gash in the landscape.
Yes, and look up toward the top of the canyon. It's 700 feet deep.
Wow.
Whoa!
Look at the waterfall way up at that end. This is an awesome shot.
Look, Kendall, I know what kind of things you're going to say here.
Oh?
I believe you're really, really stretching things to fit your model.
Well, Daniel, challenge me on film.
Speaking of that, I'm ready to roll.
Go for it. Glenn, do you want to give the introduction?
And roll.
Hi, we're here at Step Canyon, and you can see this is a pretty impressive showing of the powerful forces at work here. Just to the east of us is another known as Lewitt Canyon.
Dad, we've seen some amazing views. I mean, so many giant canyons going in all sorts of different directions.
That's right. Most of these were carved on May 19th of 1980.
In just one day?
Exactly. And that includes the Little Grand Canyon that we were just at. However, all of these canyons were carved out of the soft material deposited by the volcano.
And now I suppose you want to apply this to the Grand Canyon.
When we looked at the Little Grand Canyon below us, it does have the same characteristic erosion.
Exactly, Kendall. You stepped into the same trap that every creationist does concerning this site. But here's what completely defeats your interpretation. You are comparing apples to oranges. The material we see below us is completely different from what we see at the Grand Canyon.
Hmm.
Dad, he's got a good point. How do we answer that?
Well, Daniel, I believe that with large volumes of water, cutting the Grand Canyon would be no problem. Besides, it's been proven that the right catastrophic forces can cut right through hard rock.
What evidence do you have?
It's looking you right in the face. That's why we came here to Step Canyon. Now, unlike the canyons below us, this is hard rock that existed for hundreds of years prior to the 1980s. And look what we see before us, a hard rock canyon carved deep.
Whoa! Dad, how was it cut?
Well, it was carved in 5 months during the summer and fall of 1980 by mud and pyroclastic flows. So there you have it, Daniel. Terrific proof that catastrophic forces can carve canyons in a very short time, instead of millions of years.
Kendall! Kendall! Are you there? Son?
Dad! Hey, what's up? Did you guys complete your mission okay?
Yes, but the helicopter left us. Do you know where he's at?
Left you? Dad, are you saying that there's no helicopter up there with you on the mountain?
Exactly, and it's starting to get a little more active up here. And we're getting storm clouds.
Dad, I'm going to check and see what happened to our pilot. I'll see if we can get someone up there stat, all right?
Well, get back to me soon. I think I need to get these boys out of the crater.
All right, Dad. I'll get word to you in just a few minutes.
Dad, be safe. I'll be praying for you, and I'll give you news as soon as I have it.
I'll keep in touch along the way. Out.
You mean Owen's coming after us?
We're gonna have to get out of this place.
mess ourselves!
Will the boys and Benjamin be safe? How will they get down from the volcano? To find out, you'll have to join us next time in part two of Jonathan Park and the Journey into the Blast Zone. You've been listening to The Adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team fights to get their members off the volcano in part two of Jonathan Park and the Journey into the Blast Zone.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.